But I want you to know before we show this video that these are messages that you may know it or not, but that you're hearing every day. If you watch any TV, if you watch any movies, if you listen to any music, if you look at a billboard, if you watch commercials, if you listen to the radio, if you hang around with your friends long enough, you're going to hear these exact same things. They might be packaged a little differently, but you're going to hear these things. Let's go ahead and roll this video.
I'm not a virgin anymore. There's no going back.
I just got a divorce after 10 years of marriage. You can't expect me to just stop.
We're just fooling around. We don't go all the way.
Come on, I'm in my physical prime. It's unhealthy to deny myself.
We're not ready for marriage yet, but we're ready for the next step in our relationship.
Look, it's not like I'm out cruising bars or something. I'm in a committed relationship.
Come on, I'm married, not blind.
It's just sex.
Everyone I know is doing it.
What goes on behind closed doors in my own home is no one's business but my own.
It's just a joke email my buddy sent me.
It's just a video.
I'm just looking for love.
It's just sex.
The church tells us not to.
Those were rules created thousands of years ago before birth control when life expectancy was, what, 40?
The world says it's okay.
I mean, we use protection.
You know what? It's really just between me and my boyfriend.
It's just sex.
If I'm looking for a commitment for the rest of my life, I just want to be sure that he's the one.
It's perfectly normal behavior.
Come on, it's sex. It's not a sin. I mean, it's not like we're committing murder.
God created sex, right? So what's wrong with it then? It's just sex.
It's just sex. I'm not a virgin anymore.
He's got a divorce after 10 years of marriage.
We're just fooling around.
But we don't want sex. It's just sex.
So what's wrong with it then?
You guys are hearing messages all the time. Not spoken as clearly as that. But in almost everything you see, listen to, watch, you're hearing stuff about sex. You're exposed to sex everywhere. If you're a guy and you play sports, as soon as you get in eighth grade, ninth grade, and you get around that locker room long enough, you're going to hear a lot from your friends about sex. You might be a guy sitting in this room right now, and you were at a sleepover at someone's house, or you had one at your house, and somebody got on the internet late at night when parents were asleep and no one was around, and you saw images that were pictures of sex. You might have watched a TV show or a movie where maybe they don't show it, but it is understood that two people went away and had sex. You're exposed to sex everywhere all the time. And the pity of it is that we hardly ever, ever, ever talk about it in here or in your small groups or with your parents, with people who understand it and know about it. So you're exposed to sex and sexual things in a ton of different circumstances in a lot of different ways. And if you're in sixth grade and you're sitting in here going, no, I'm not, and you've been sheltered and you really are, let me just tell you that you will be in the years to come. And this message is for you so you can be prepared. Some of you are sitting out there and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are a little bit confused and you're being exposed to sex so much you don't even know it and you're blind to it. But the truth is that we're all exposed to it, but we don't expose you enough to what the Bible has to say about sex. Did you know this? If you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, that tells the story of God creating the world, it tells the story of how God created sex. At the very beginning, in the first chapter of the first book of this Bible that's God's word, God creates sex. Let me read it to you. This is from chapter 1. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then he says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. A little bit later on, it says, when it tells about how he created man and woman, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. But let me just tell you right here, chapter 1, chapter 2, Genesis, God created sex. And God talks about it in his Bible. But because it's been so distorted, a lot of us have come to think that it's something wrong and dirty or bad or whatever, and God made it. And it's not all bad, but he made it with specific purposes in mind. And we're going to talk about this topic, about sex. And we're going to call the series Exposed, The Naked Truth About Sex. And I'm going to talk straight up, straightforward to you, maybe more than any adult ever has in your whole life. I hope not. I hope you've had a talk about this with your parents. But if you haven't, I'm going to talk to you very clearly and straightforward about this topic. And then your small group leaders have discussion questions for you guys to discuss it in small group, straightforward, okay? And I'm trusting that you guys are grown up enough to handle it. Are you guys ready? You ready to be exposed to what the Bible has to say about sex? Give me a nod if you are. Take a deep breath. Okay, here we go. Let me give you an outline real quick of the next 3 weeks. This week, we're going to talk about what was God thinking up at the very top. We're going to give you an idea. This morning, we're going to do five purposes God had in mind when he created sex. All right? And then next week, we're going to talk about what went wrong, because something has gone wrong with sex. If you have paid any attention at all, you'll know that there's a huge epidemic going on around the world, a disease that is killing millions of people, and it's called AIDS. And AIDS is mainly a sexually transmitted disease. And if something was going right with sex, we wouldn't have all these diseases that are associated with it that are killing people. Something has gone wrong with sex, and there's a lot of other things wrong, but we're going to talk about what went wrong with it. What happened? What are the lies that have been told and sold to us about sex? That's next week. And then last week, we're going to talk really specifically in 3 weeks about what is a junior hire to do? What are you supposed to do with this information about sex? What are you supposed to do with your own life and your own body, which if you're created, male or female, you are created a creature that has a gender or a sex. So we say male, the male sex and the female sex. We are all, okay, this is awkward to say to you guys, but we are all sexual people, especially after we go through puberty and we kind of grow into that. So this is something that every single person in this room is going to have to face and deal with. And it's a reality about who you are. And the third week, we're going to talk about what do I do with this information and with this ability and this part of me that I have. But this week, we're going to talk about God's purposes. Now, you got to be here this week, next week, and the week after that. You got to do everything you can to get here, because you got to hear all three pieces. If you miss one, you got to listen to it on the internet. We're going to have it on our website, okay? But here is part one, what was God thinking? Let's just click up here. I'm going to go through five things, all right? Here's the first one. Sex is meant for marriage. When God made sex, he was thinking about marriage. Look at this passage up on the screen. If you guys can't read that, I'll read it to you. This is from Matthew 19, 4 through 6. And someone was asking Jesus about marriage, okay? And Jesus quotes Genesis, and he says, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife,'" okay? Meaning he will get married to this woman. She will become his wife, and they will be united. "And the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. What God has joined together, let no man separate." And so what Jesus was saying here is that, hey, God made male and female, and he said, here's what's supposed to happen. Is a man is supposed to leave his father and mother's home, and he's going to find a wife. And God's going to, just like God made Eve and brought him to Adam, God's going to bring her to him, and they're going to become united, and they're going to become one flesh, and what God has joined together in that sexual way, let no one separate. God meant sex for marriage, for people to join together and to not ever separate. Not meant for anything outside of marriage. And you might have heard that before. You might have heard, oh, okay, save sex for marriage. But let me just tell you why people say that. It's because that's how God meant it to be. God created it from the very beginning, the day he made male and female. He made them so they would have the ability to join together and become one flesh, and he made them for each other forever. One man, one woman, for good. Okay? I'm sure you guys have guessed this or know this about me, but I am a married man. My wife's name is Allie. And Allie is the only person that I've ever had sex with in my life. And it's the only person I ever will, unless, God forbid, for some reason one of us dies and remarries another person. But it's meant for marriage. And I kept it safe and secure because I knew what God's word said, that that is something that is only meant for marriage. And I saved it until I got married. Most of you guys already know that. What else was God thinking when he made sex? Sex is meant for a man and a woman. This might be a no-brainer, but things are changing, guys. in America, in our culture, on our TV shows. Will and Grace, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, The L Word, you name it, we've got TV shows all about it. There's, you know, Ellen DeGeneres is a really likable, funny, cool person. She's a lesbian. Our society is starting to get confused about this point. And God made them. Let's read what God did in Genesis 20 through 24. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall into deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then God made a woman from the rib he'd taken out of the man and brought her to the man. Next slide. The man said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. God did not take out three of Adam's ribs and make another woman and two other men and another man and then say, hey, Adam, here's what you can do. You choose. You want to be with a man? Be with a man. Eve, if you want to, I'll make you and I'll make another woman for you in case you want to be with her. But if you guys want to be together, that's fine. You guys just do whatever makes you feel happy and makes you feel comfortable and whatever, you know, you feel like you like, you do that. No, God made a man and then he made a woman and he said, here's the thing. Man leaves his father and mother, and he becomes united in one flesh with a woman. You guys get where I'm at? Now, most of you guys kind of know this no-brainer. So some of you guys are confused about this and have questions about it. And you've got to work through what does God's word really say? And what did God intend when he created sex? He knows what he's talking about because he made it. And he made it for marriage, and he made it for a man and a woman. You get what I'm saying? He didn't make man and man. He made man and woman. Now, let me say this, honestly, straightforward, okay? There may be someone in this room that's a young man that is dealing with attraction to other young men. That might be the case. And that's something that you need to be able to talk about with other guys. If you're feeling that and you're confused about that, come talk to me about it. I know people that are like that, and I can help you with that. That's not how God created us to live our lives. There might be some young ladies in here that are struggling secretly with an attraction to other young ladies. Let's start talking about that now and work through that. Because that's not how God created us to live the rest of our lives. And just because we feel it doesn't mean we have to do it. All right? There might also be some people in this room that have been abused. And that sex has happened to them already outside of marriage and maybe with a man and a boy or I don't know. I don't want to put images in your head that might not be there, but that could have happened. And you need to know that this is how God created it and you can still have it God's way. But if something's happened to you or something weird is going on in your heart and in your life, let's start talking about it and start working through it. It's okay. It's okay. We know how to handle that and help you through that. Let us know. The third thing God was thinking, it was that sex was meant for intimacy. Look at just the very end of that passage I showed you. It says, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and there will be one flesh. This is really cool, is that God didn't make us to always be alone. You know what God is? God is a Trinity. Have you ever heard of that? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And it says, God said, let us make man in our own image, meaning the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They've been together forever. And God is not alone. God is together with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. And they are one, although they are different. Allie and I are one, although I am Allie, or I'm David, and she is Allie. We're two individual people, but we function together as a unit. If you want me to go out to lunch with you today, I'm going to call my wife and talk to her about it before I go to lunch with you today because her and I are one, and I do not operate separately from her. We operate together, and we have become one. This is a great deal, is it's meant for bringing people closer together. Being with someone in a sexual way will bring you closer to them than you ever thought you could be. It's a very vulnerable position to be in with all of your clothes off and all the embarrassing flaws and all the things that you've kept hidden in private for all of your life are suddenly exposed and you're with that other person. That is a very intimate, personal, close moment. And God made it so that we can be that close and that loved and that cared for and that vulnerable and genuine with another person. God made it for that. He made it for marriage, though. Don't take one of these and take it by itself. God made it for all five of these purposes. He made it for marriage. He made it for a man and a woman. He made it for intimacy. And sex is also meant for reproduction. God said, he said, created man in his own image. The image of God, he made him, created him. And God said, be fruitful and increase in number. Which means, man, go make babies. Okay? Sex is meant for reproduction as well. So it's not just a lot of people will say that sex is meant for recreation. That's what we're seeing on TV. That's what we're seeing in the movies, is it's almost like a game. There are people that are in relationships with their friends, and they call it friends with benefits. And they're not in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, but they just have sex for fun because it's an activity. It's a recreation. And it's meant for so much more than that. It's a opportunity to create another life and to reproduce and fill the earth and pass on a legacy of faith in God. So it's meant for marriage, guys. It's meant for a man and a woman. It's meant for intimacy. It's meant for reproduction. And the fifth thing I want to show you is this. Sex is meant for teaching us and Jesus, about the church and Jesus. This one is going to blow your mind. Look at this passage in Ephesians. Paul is talking to these folks about marriage, okay? And here's what Paul says. He says, for this reason, he quotes Genesis 2 again, a man will leave his father and mother, become united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And then he goes on. Look at verse 32. Catch it. Everybody look at the screen. Catch this. Paul says, this is a profound, which means deep. This is a deep mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. And what Paul was saying is this. The way a man loves his wife and the way a wife loves her husband is supposed to represent and teach us about how the church and Jesus interact with each other. See, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, and you guys got to follow me on this, okay? Jesus wants to have a relationship with you that is as close and as personal and as intimate and as vulnerable as a man's relationship with his wife. Do you understand that? Like the way I love Allie, and I like to put the back of my hand on her cheek and just look at her and brush her cheek and to push her hair back and to be close to her face. And I love to hold her in my arms. When she comes home from work, I meet her at the door and I open it and I embrace her and I kiss her. And I love being close to her. That is meant to teach us about how Jesus feels about us. You see, when I feel that way for Allie, I just stop and think and I go, wait a second, this is a profound mystery, because Paul is saying that man and woman coming together is like Jesus and the church coming together. And I start to think, wow, I love Allie so much. I can't wait for her to be home and I can't wait to spend the evening with her and all the time that I have. I can't wait to talk to her. I can't wait to have fun and laugh with her. I can't wait to eat dinner with all these things. I can't wait. That's how Jesus feels about me. He loves me and wants to be close and intimate and personal with me. Sex is meant for teaching us about us and Jesus. Now that is cool. But that makes a big deal out of sex. That puts sex on a whole nother level. It's not just a game. It's not something you play around with. This is something that's supposed to teach us something spiritual. This is something deep. It's not something to be messed around with. So let me summarize. God created us, you and me, every one of us, sexual creatures. Each one of us is male or female. And God's an expert on the topic. And he made it for marriage right off the bat. He made it for man and a woman right off the bat. He made it for intimacy between people so that we don't have to feel alone, but that we can have the opportunity someday to be connected with another person. And He made it for reproduction so we can have the opportunity to pass on a legacy of faith and to make more people. That's cool. And he also made it to teach us about how he loves us. That's a lot to swallow. Next week, we're going to talk about what went wrong, because here's the deal. There's not a lot of people out there that are treating it like God intended it to be treated. Now, you got to be here next week, because you got to hear what has gone so wrong with this. And you really got to be here in 2 weeks, because you got to hear what you guys can do, because it's pretty exciting. Hope you guys understand what sex is for, what God was thinking when he made it, And you're going to get to talk through and kind of unpack this stuff in your small groups. Small group leaders, of course, let's keep it appropriate to your groups. Guys, it's not the time to go crazy and be silly and ask every question you've ever thought of to ask. Maybe some things need to be asked privately and talked about privately. You guys handle that with discretion. Let me pray, and I'm going to let you guys go. God, I thank you that you told us what you were thinking, because this sex thing can be really confusing. And it is being abused in so many different ways and confused in so many different ways that I get kind of twisted and turned around sometimes when I think about it. And I thank you that your word can just bring us back to a solid foundation of what this sex stuff is all about. And I pray for these students out there, all the ones that are having different thoughts and feelings and, experimenting with different things or desires, whatever they are, Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom from your word. And I pray that your word jumped off that screen and out of my mouth this morning into their hearts, and they would understand that you have a profoundly deep, mysterious purpose behind what you've created. And I pray that we would just be able to live according to that purpose. I pray for each of these students in here that all of them would just make up their minds right now, not by signing some pledge or, by doing some other thing, but they would just make up their minds and their hearts right now that they're going to follow your purpose for sex in their life. Even if it's not something that's a temptation or a struggle or even a question mark for them right now, I pray that they would decide in their heart and commit to follow your purpose. I thank you that we can meet here and have fun together every week and talk about your word. It's so awesome to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.